A few news items, really, before we go into the Bible study proper. The Herald Tribune on the aircraft going across, if you remember, there was this bomb over in Madrid, or in Spain generally. There were several bombs that went off in Spain, a coordinated attack that certainly looks as if it was Al-Qaeda or an Arab group. And what had in fact happened was that millions, about 8 million altogether, mourners just gathered on the street after the attack to show solidarity and support against the terrorists. And the Herald Tribune was in the plane, and you know, there were several of them, and I in fact brought one of them back with me. And here it says that the senior European intelligence and security officials in recent months had expressed increasing concern that terrorists would target the still relatively open rail network of a region that depends heavily on passenger rail transport. In the aftermath of the terrorist bombing on Thursday in Madrid, European leaders and security officials were tightening security at trains and subway stations across the region, stepping up police patrols, bomb detection measures, and electronic surveillance. Passenger rail traffic in Europe is more than 12 times the level in the United States, according to European Union figures, and is only surpassed in passenger miles by China and Japan. So, you know, the rail network, even with the prices that we have, is still very, very high. France on Friday deployed nearly 500 soldiers on key transportation hubs to beef up local security, especially on the high-speed rail lines from Paris to Lyon and Marseille. French officials also placed restrictions on private aviation clubs and stepped up chlorination of water supply levels, all part of an elevated alert status ordered by the President, Jacques Chirac, a spokesman for the National Police said. And he goes on, it says, the French officials' concerns have been echoed by the head of British Counterintelligence Service, known as MI5, who has warned that Al-Qaeda has been seeking to stage a large-scale attack in Britain, where officials say air and rail transport is considered the most obvious target. We've been focused on the transport sector for some time, a Foreign Office official said. We've been aware that transport is threatened and that different groups have looked at it. So they are aware of that. It is interesting that when you go inside the paper, however, it was the analysis inside the paper that really caught my eye. It goes on inside about this particular attack. It said, in Madrid, Aznar marched as the head of a procession behind a long white banner alongside foreign officials, including Prime Minister Raffarin of France and Romano Prodi, the president of the European Union's executive arm. Prince Philippe, 36, and his sister Christina, 38, were also at the forefront of the march, the first time in Spanish history that members of the royal family participated in a demonstration. So these, what actually happened in the aftermath from what happened in Madrid is more important and more significant. It's the way in which the public is reacting. Now, we saw this reaction, and I pointed it out several times, in the case of Lady Diana Spencer, or Princess of Wales. The reaction there was out of all proportion to the people didn't know this woman at all. All they'd seen of her was on the media. That's all that they'd actually witnessed. And yet, from that media campaign, the outpouring of grief was enormous, out of all proportion to anything that is logical. It was a case that they had seen an image, they'd accepted that image, and the outpouring of grief was as a result of that. Now, inside the Herald Tribune, it said, amid the outrage, a chance for Europe to coalesce. And it says, I feel this is an attack on me as a European, said Timothy Garden Ash, a leading authority on the European Union and fellow of St. Anthony's College at Oxford University in Britain. But how many people around the continent feel that? Garton Ash said that the attack raised the question, in the most profound way, does Europe exist, he asked. In some sense it exists, but does it exist as a strong political community? 2.5 years ago, in the wake of the attacks of September the 11th, the United States unified around the rebuilding of downtown New York and the fight against terrorism. The next few weeks will tell whether Europe will manage a similar response. Messages of sympathy and vows of cooperation have been largely national until now. A group of European leaders gathered Friday evening in Madrid in a sign of solidarity, but there has not been a voice linking Spain's European partners, both on the technical level of political assistance and in the political sphere. Police assistance and in the political sphere. Valéry Giscard d'Estaing, the former president of France, said that this was because Europe cannot speak with a single voice until it has a single president. Now that's what's actually happening. If you've been listening to the news today and last night over here in Europe, there is an awful lot of talk about the constitution and the pushing through of that constitution, which I'll come on to. But it says that until it has a single president with whom the bloc soon to be 450 million citizens can identify. You know, you're looking at something almost twice the size of the United States. You know, it is a vast area of people and a vast area of technology, I suppose, as well. And it goes then into the rest of the article. But it is this fact that from something like this, when you have seen the reaction that took place with Lady Diana Spencer, the Princess of Wales, you've seen the reaction that took place there. You've seen the reaction that took place here. 8 million Spaniards went to the streets, and all it needs is somebody to get up to say the right things. It's words that will actually sway these people. And I'll be talking about the use of the tongue in the Bible study today, because I think there's something that we need to really be aware of. But within the news analysis, we also need to be aware that it is the tongue, it is somebody who is going to get up and is going to speak the right things just at the right time in a certain scenario such as this that will pull Europe together. And every indication is within Scripture that something along those lines will take place. Turn over to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Now, you know, these scriptures we've gone over and over and over in the past, but it's when something like this takes place. If you remember Hitler's rise to power, Hitler's rise to power was similar. He was able to bring Germany together and put Germany back to work with phenomenal inflation that they had at that time. And this National Socialism was able to actually give the country an enormous boost. He improved the road systems, and he was almost worshipped by the population. Something similar to that is going to take place again, as far as we can tell. In Revelation 13, verse 1, it said, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Now, you can turn over to Revelation 17, and it talks about the waters being peoples, but, you know, you can look at that later on. Revelation 17, 15, if you want to put in your notes. Having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were the feet of the bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now we're looking at a continuation of the Babylonish system.